there's Miss Millie. We can go talk to Miss Millie. She's on her porch.
Oh, great.
Hey, Miss Millie. How you doing?
Taking a walk?
Yeah, we're actually doing some recording and talking about the coal dust.
And what? Oh, it's terrible.
You want to talk to her about it? You want to talk to Adrian about it?
You can tell her about it.
Come on.
Y'all look at my car.
She knows it's seeing you.
You say y'all went to where?
See the coal dust. We'll talk about the coal dust.
I'm trying to be on TV, but I can tell it's terrible down here.
Okay.
My tables are down.
No!
My tables are full of coal dust in my car.
I'm trying to be like you when I grow up.
Oh, Jack, keep on living. You will be. Have a seat.
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all want some water or something?
Oh, I'm all right. Thank you so much.
Sure, I got zero sodas in there, too.
My name's Adrian.
My name is Millie.
Hi, Miss Millie.
It's Raymond.
Hi there, Mr. Raymond.
How you doing?
So, Miss Millie.
Oh, what's your name again? Adrian.
Adrian. Okay.
But Miss Millie is amazing. She's been here forever. I used to live right beside her in a house that was right here, and it was torn down because the termites were terrible. But,
oh, yeah, it was bad what I heard over there.
Oh, my goodness. We were in there one more night.
That's why I had them that time, because you all had them.
Probably because we had them.
Man, the truth come out.
No. But look, they didn't tell you that. Because we sat in there, we were asleep, and my children woke up screaming, and it was swarms of little termite larvae that had came out the walls. And
you
they were
had walls in there one time was so soft you could put your hand through them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kelly told us that.
He was terrible. I left there and I don't think he got another tenant after me.
But as far as the cold is concerned, it's all over our cars. All over. Every morning I come out here, I clean it up. Not every morning, but most mornings I clean the tables off. Come back the next day, they black all over the towel pots on your porch, and then the windowsill is just awful. But it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still bad.
How long have you been living here?
We've been here since 1953 or 54.
Oh, wow.
We've been here.
Wow.
Long enough.
And Miss Millie shows up at the planning council.
Yeah. Because I went over there and asked some questions about the coal dust, and then they had a meeting one night at Dunbar, and I asked the mayor, the old mayor, Price.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, it's enough money in the budget. So if they ever leave from down here, we can clean it up, because they probably leave it messed up. So I said, when will that be? He said, 20 years from now. I said, 20 years from now, I'll be dead and gone.
Is there do they have a lease or something? Do you know?
What was the question? Excuse me.
I asked the question about the coal dust. Uh-huh. We got coal dust here. We got shipyard dust here.
Mm.
You come in on 16th Street and put something else on the 16th Street corner. So he said they got enough. They asked for money in the budget to clean it up whenever they leave.
That's right.
So they'll probably leave it it is.
Yeah.
So I said, well, that sounds pretty good. I said, when? He said, 20 years from now.
Was he definite? Like he knew they were going to leave in
20 years?
I
don't know.
Years?
I said,
20 years? What you laughing for, Mr. Raven?
20 years from now? Where will I be in 20 years from now? Man, I'd be here. But, you know, years ago, people who lived in the projects, when they washed their clothes, they'd be black from the coal dust.
White clothes look like they were dark.
Mm-hmm. Out Harbor Homes and...
Harbor Homes and Old 16th Street.
Mm.
It's terrible.
Why isn't it that bad now? Why do you think?
They started watering it down.
Okay.
You can see the sprinklers.
When they start doing that?
You know what they do with the residue, the dust from the coal? Mm-hmm. You know what they do with that, don't you?
What?
Y'all don't know?
No.
We asked you.
They had an article a few years back in the paper. Big article.
What they do?
They use the residue from coal dust for sandblasts.
Oh. Sandblasting?
That's barium. That will kill you dead.
Oh, my goodness.
That's terrible.
Y'all knew that.
I did.
Yes, you did.
Oh,
I wasn't paying no attention to the paper.
No.
I thought when that came out several years ago.
Oh, it was in the Daily Press. Okay.
Several years ago.
It's and, just like brown ground over
Steve
here.
Steve is a brother. By him being in the shipyard, he was a union rep also, too. I thought that the union, the steel workers, was going to jump right on it then.
Right. Why hasn't there been,
you pay people money. Mm. And they value money over their lives.
You just answered my question, because I was going to say, why hasn't there been a big movement?
Money. As a matter of fact, when Linwood and Erica put this thing together.
Mr. DeBrew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was dealing with only the water. Erica asked me if I would work with the air. Sitting in the news, they ain't do no air. They ain't do nothing about air. They don't test
air quality.
They ain't never tested that. Have you talked to Mr. LeBrew?
Yeah, I go and sit with Mr. LeBrew now just like to hear the stories and stuff. But I really want to start. So I attend this church, right? And Pastor Johnson has let me take over the community arm. So the goal is to reopen the school part, to have it as an educational information resource center so that we can start building momentum. In addition to that, we have an investment group that we're really going to start buying the block back and putting our money where it needs to be so that we can control. Yeah. And what I'm looking for is like, I see like Mr. Brew and Erica, when I first came on the scene years ago, like they were doing the work, but I haven't really seen organizations or groups like that are from our community. The other groups that are coming in are like from different areas and they're concerned, but the strength is from within. So where are the people?
They're gone. You know, what is anybody down there? Bob Holmes is gone.
They're gone.
Dixon Court's gone.
Oh, it's gone.
Everybody's gone. Pigeon and Adam got old. You know? And we want somebody that know the history and come behind it and do things and keep it rolling. You know? Justin Avenue used to be one of the busiest, most productive avenues in the black community when I was coming up.
I have two contractors that's actually bought property on Chestnut Avenue. So we're literally trying to do what we're saying, but it's kind of weird. Like, you know, I'm from the Eastern Shore. I'm first generation Newport News.
Where from? What part?
Eastern Shore.
Where?
Accomack County in Maryland.
Okay, well, that Eastern Shore, not Virginia.
Yeah, and Virginia. My dad's from the Virginia side.
I have people that came out of Pocono City.
My granddad is from Park. Well, when he left Dawson, Georgia, he traveled all for. He said he hitchhiked all the way from Dawson, Georgia. He worked different sharecropper jobs and made his way to the Eastern Shore, Maryland, in Pocomo.
Pocomo.
That's where the boy lived, Pocomo, Maryland.
They live in. It's a two city names. Pocomo, another one. And you ride 301?
Oh, Rehoboth, Snow Hill, Burland.
No, Pocomo and another one. Because Joe Buck is out there.
So my land, I have land in there, and it said Oak Hall, actually.
Oak Hall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to go up there and get my pizzas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pizza. I worked over there as a postmaster in Parksley, Virginia.
I lived in Parksley, Virginia.
Oh, yeah, Oak Hallies. Keep on talking, we related.
I know, right? Oh, my goodness.
Right? Yeah, because we related. Came over
there. Kept talking. In Surrey County?
Ask when you see it. You know, my cousin, ask her, she'll tell you about Pocomo City. Now, her grandmother, her grandfather's grandparents came in through Annapolis. That's what they call it, Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
It's Annapolis, we know.
Annapolis.
And you know, he used to be there. What her grandparents were telling her about it, that knew the history verbally.
Uh-huh.
That when they came over, his wife told him, you can't make no money basket weaving. You know, you have to feed these children.
Mm.
So he learned brick masonry.
Oh, okay.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
We were very productive type
people. Yeah.
Initiative.
But I feel like we've lost that.
Don't forget, they brought us over here for one thing. To work.
Mm-hmm. Just to work. Like, we didn't know that was brown ground.
What is brown ground?
Brownfield.
Brownfield. Land is infected. And it was on the water and air, right?
Yeah. That water not the air. Yeah. I don't mess with the air. I don't bother with the air.
Yeah.
I told Erica, she asked me, would you work with the air? I said, no.
I just do with the water.
So were you working with them when they found the leak at the sewage plant?
Of course I did.
Oh, my goodness.
We reported it.
Oh!
That came from the sanitation department.
Wow.
They sent the water. They sent the waterworks out. There's ain't nothing wrong with them pipes, man. sanitation went out there. It was so bad, the E. coli was so bad out there that we used to call it the death ditch.
Mm. Oh my God.
That's but that what ditch I wanted that's on
to
do King
after
Street?
We found all of that, I wanted to get the, because, you know, when children go, they in school, they go to the nurse's office and what have you. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to find with the guy that I was talking with at the DEQ,
Environmental Quality.
That was a guy. Okay. He was working there. Wow. And either retired or dead. One of them. I don't know. There's a lady that worked with it now. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know what was the children keep that one that were going continuously to the nurse's office, stomach
right.
virus or what have you.
Right.
And could we have traced that to that that leak, that sanitation leak there?
Wow.
You know.
That's terrible.
We tasted more storm drain in this city and the southeast community than any other team in the whole state of Virginia. We had about 14 different drains. I think that what you call them up there, the river rats, that's what they call them.
Oh, yeah, the river rats. The Hilton River.
We just call ourselves the Southeast Water Committee. Now, yeah. I got some stuff at home that I got to take, but because of the environment and I've been tied up with my children, Linwood and I, we've been doing this on our own for a while. We were testing for lead and arsenic, and it's kind of expensive to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to put in for a grant. I think. I ain't even want to go with
that. I remember.
If I go into stuff, it'll piss me off about certain things. And I don't need to get pissed off about certain things. I'm too old now.
And
I'm too old. Linwood and I are a year ahead of each other. Me, Linwood, and this is the matron.
I'm not. What are you laughing about?
He said the matron.
You don't even know me.
She stays right on. She's got a lot of information that maybe one day she'll share with you.
I don't know anything about all those cold dust.
I
know you know how to make some egg foo yarn.
I didn't make the egg foo.
What did you make? Because
I made yak.
The yak was good.
I made yak.
All of it.
So you fried rice?
A private journal?
I'm part of a university.
Okay.
Yeah, I work with CNU and I work with the University of Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And so my group is called the Repair Lab.
Yeah.
We work with two activists. One of them's based here in Newport News, and his church is Pray First on 39th between, it's between Roanoke and...
Pray First?
Yeah, it's called Pray First Mission Ministry.
On 39th Street?
Yes, ma'am. They've been there since 2020, so they're new.
Oh.
You
seen that church?
Mm-hmm. What's the pastor's name?
Roanoke
His
Avenue?
His name is, 39th.
39th and Roanoke?
What's the other cross street?
What else is in the neighborhood?
It's right on the corner.
That
the
blue
southeast.
Building.
I've seen it.
I think it's over there by Friendship Baptist.
There's got to be if you're coming this way, it's right on, the right hand side.
Yeah, it's next to Friendship Baptist. You know where Friendship Baptist is before you go over the track?
No, Friendship Baptist is on 37th Street.
37th Street.
That's before you go across the track.
So yeah, there's right there on the other side of the track.
Okay.
Yeah, on that's right. It's right next to that brick building that nothing's been done with
right.
for years.
They got a new, but now they have new glass up there, the window pane or something.
Somebody was working in there.
I thought they was gonna move. Cause across the street, a black woman owned a supply hair supply.
The blue
shop.
Building.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
the blue building.
Pastor
Lathaniel.
Okay.
And his
brother.
Okay.
And lived up in Denver are the ones that put together.
They got those names up there.
I see those names. I didn't know what it meant.
Was school with us.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother was Madam Crush. She had a store on Jefferson Avenue years ago.
Oh, wow.
Boutique.
Okay.
But he was in the contractor.
Yeah, but
Mr. Anthony lived up there in Denver, off Tabs Lane,
uh-huh.
Wells Road.
Yeah.
They built Warwick Lawn.
Yeah.
Warwick Lawns up in Denver.
It was all blacks up there back in the day.
I remember.
Off Campbell Lane back up in there.
It was a lady that did a story on it. And is that the area where Warwick Lawns, where the city like stole all the property from black people?
That's mainly up there, Royal Lane.
Royal
Lane. About Fort Eustis.
Yeah.
It was owned by the family called the Royals and the Blands.
Okay.
It's up in the Fort Eustis area, I think, from what I understand. They took all that land, those people. Yeah. For little nothing.
That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm.
So we heard too.
Yeah.
Cause I know some royals. A lot of it was a big family. That's why they call it a royal lane.
I ain't said no.
He knows he didn't even miss.
I know. Cussing.
But who?
And I don't
who
curse.
Is? Picking up, like, who do we need to talk to about the coal field that's actually doing studies like you and Mr. DeBrew did back in the day?
On the coal in the morning, you don't even hear it, but
you know
what? The girl back here said that she comes over that bridge almost every day,
that was,
and the coal dust is going down, but I don't think it's going down. I don't know.
With the water, I was putting out that I was doing with the water, we was dealing with the water, then that's sick,
you know,
Evelyn, yeah, was with us. And she had to take care of it. So it was just putting out, was doing it. We did it for about 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't know.
The city got that, you know, department of
but
environment.
I do think I do think when these places being built come up and they move some white folks down there,
you talking about Chase Bank?
It's going to be some changes made down there.
Can I tell you that?
Chase
Bank? Can I say that?
There's going to be some changes made.
When they put...
No, the new building is being built.
Odell Ivy Avenue is going to be 28 houses, Odell Ivy Avenue. There's going to
be some changes made.
Yeah, and there's going to be a school there. A new... They rezoned this area, so now it's light industrial.
Don't surprise.
Yeah, it's going
to
be...
They did that last year. Because I went to the meeting.
Yeah.
I want to see how it concerned me.
Yeah, that's
right. My tax going up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I live residential, not industrial.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
But S23 is Holdings is coming. They're a fabrication business. And then...
Over here.
They're coming down there.
Yeah. What about the one over here behind the moat?
So that deal actually went down. That was indeed well. They're not coming anymore.
Oh, no. I saw somebody go. I didn't notice it. Yeah, but behind the moat supposed to be mobile houses, some kind of house.
They're not doing that anymore. They pulled out of the deal because they said it was too difficult to do business here. So they're looking for another location in Virginia. So what's going there now is the Economic Development Authority is building a school for the Virginia Peninsula Community College to do maritime trades and technical.
On ground when the ground contaminated.
Because they rezoned it to light industrial.
It's still contaminated ground.
They rezoned it.
Now it's no longer contaminated.
I know they can't put no more houses up there.
Where is this now?
Over here.
Right here, right there.
On the ground contamination.
And see, in the middle part, they're saying that they're going to put retail. So the retail is going to be catered to S23 Holdings and the school. So it's going to be more so like... repair shops or businesses right behind the motor. So I really want to have a conversation with Mr. DeBrew to see what's going to happen to the motor. I've seen the city's plan.
The same thing.
I've seen
don't
seen
let
the
Shannon
plan.
Get it.
I don't know.
Plans that go back about 40 years.
So I saw the 2040 plan, and it's a movie theater there. And I'm like, how is there a movie theater there when the Moton's there with all our history? So what are they planning that we don't know? And how can we fight against that before it happens?
There were two cities on that. The Moton's was a theater.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be a theater.
What? Right here.
This church used to be a theater.
That used to be a theater.
Look at
further down where the... What is that thing? The shopping center where?
23rd and Jefferson.
Yeah, it used to be a
theater.
Theater there.
Oh, the Dixie.
It's called the Dixie Theater.
Mm-hmm. We had three theaters. We had the Moton, the Dixie, and Jefferson. We had three theaters.
Jefferson was on 25th Street.
So was the coal terminal there?
It immediately went to
Utah.
1869, they said. That's when they put the coal up down here.
Is that where they were burning the shoes for the World War I?
Burning shoes?
Mr. Ernest Thompson said that they used to burn shoes from the soldiers.
I know. At one point, they had a crematory down there, burned horses.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day? You could smell it at night. You knew it was burning, making glue, they say.
Oh, wow.
Mr. DeBrew has a very thorough history.
Yeah.
And the only one that I know that may have anything comparable to what he has, what was the teacher that died? She used to come to all of the...
Miss Hayes?
No, they come to all the dances. She'd be on the floor.
Miss Edwards.
Edwards, yeah. She knew. She was very, very...
She wrote
she
a book.
Very knowledge. She sure did.
What's her name?
What's her name? Lizzie Edwards?
Ineta Edwards.
She wrote a book.
And there were several people that were very, very thorough.
She said when she wrote her book, No, she went over to Washington Avenue about her husband and the property. They said, put your ex, because they think she couldn't read and write. She said, oh, I can read and write. I wrote her name, Inetta.
And the thing about the shipyard, too, with it, you should have talked to her. That was Solomon Travis' grandson. Solomon Travis was a big wheel. No, not a big wheel. He fought for a lot of things in the shipyard.
Yeah, Flip Floyd used to be the magistrate at one
sure
point.
Sure did.
Over town.
But I don't know where all the paperwork, I don't know if it's at the molding or got some of it or just what.
No. But the Brule knows a lot of history of Newport News.
This is
even though he comes from that part of town, north part of town.
Oh, he did?
Who did?
He went to Carver.
Who?
Oh, he did.
He didn't grow up down here with us. He went to Newsome Park.
Who?
Oh.
You know what? But he knows all about down here. He didn't go to Huntington.
Oh, my goodness. His memory is remarkable. Like, he's like in his 80s now. Like, you're talking about the Grants. He was like, give me that book right there. And he knows the exact book that the grant is in.
He knows.
He does.
And his memory is just like,
sharp.
He is a hidden jewel. Like, I don't understand. I'm like, why aren't we, like, putting this man up in books and everything? He did?
Yeah.
He has a history. He has a lot of history.
Remember what Dr. Franklin and Dr., his name was Green at the time, Dr. Diab. I went to Dr. Franklin as my Dr. Diab, who was in Burlington, North Carolina. I used to get my shea butter fund, man. We would talk a lot. And Linwood and I would talk all the time. First time when Linwood and I met, we were talking about books. I went to Huntington.
Yeah.
And Linwood said,
school.
You know about books. I'm the guru of books. And then we started talking about books, and he had read what I read. Yeah. I read something and what he read. And then I started throwing some stuff on Frank Yerby.
Frank Yerby.
Never heard of Frank Yerby? He wrote about the antebellum
South.
You
heard
of him? Black reader. He wrote about the antebellum South. And Linwood said, man, you ain't never heard of him.
Wow. No. He's an avid reader. He's a reader.
Well, Linwood and I talk. Linwood, I think we just, one of the things that both of us practice martial arts. But his mind is just phenomenal. He can recall stuff, you know. I can't do it. I forget her name.
He don't forget nothing.
He don't forget nothing.
He reads a lot.
That brother, you know, he traces his lineage back to Fulani.
Oh, yeah, he did DNA. He did that. His family. Yeah.
He told me, and he said that he was a Haplock. He had me research the Haplock gene. I was like, yes, sir.
My grandmother from Shenandoah Valley.
Oh, really?
And I told him her last name was Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, the Jackson Whites. I know about them. I didn't.
Oh, my God.
In Shenandoah Valley.
Oh, my God.
They were a mixed culture people.
Yeah.
Just a mixed culture people.
Is that right?
Because my grandmother looked like she could have been, I don't know. Mixed, but she was fair looking.
Yeah. You weren't related to two, were
you? So one thing, like, sitting here, is Miss Miller, like, they've done the work to know who they are. You know, and they know their lineage. They know what they're here to ground it, right? So we will talk about the families and really circle that are just, it's an oppressed mindset. And, like, they'll go to city council and talk about what's going on. They'll be engaged. But it was really difficult getting families and really circle to get to that point to even come to a city council meeting.
You know why? Because people think they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
We've been coming to meet. We went to a meeting. I've been to a couple of meetings about naming the streets.
Mm-hmm.
We can't name the streets black names.
Mm-hmm.
And why not?
So, you know, we changed that. It's a naming committee.
Well, I was supposed to be part of a naming committee.
Thinking
was, okay, so you somewhere in Florida in a corner are already chosen street names.
Mm-hmm.
So once you build the circle, here comes the new street names.
So we actually were able to.
So why am I going to meetings?
And I get it, right? Because it's like an ongoing battle with the, especially the naming. So what I did, because I just took over the Citizens Advisory Committee in April. And what I did is I created a naming committee. Because with the Choice Neighborhood Initiative, it's in the contract that they have to put those changes through to see, like, through the committee, right? So having people like you was on it.
having people that have the knowledge, huh?
She can't shut up, can she? That's my sister.
Yeah, I love her to pieces. But having people like that drives the conversation. So I know initially they said that we weren't going to have any names. Now, 4 out of the 5 names are black names.
Like who?
Rome. Apparently, this guy Rome was, I think he was the first black person on the school board. And then we have,
Who else do you have?
I'll give it to you. But I need your phone number so I can make sure that you come in that meeting.
Because we were at a meeting one night and I was talking about naming 16th Street Paul Lawrence Dunbar. Because that's what Dunbar was. Mm-hmm. And I was asking about Jesse Radley because she was our first black mayor. And said to me, well, her name is over in the City Hall. But you can't see it in City Hall. Why not put it on the street? So we can drive by and see her name or something.
And there's ways that's why I'm so happy that I'm in a position, because we get frustrated about a lot. But my daddy always told me that white people leave a loophole. We just got to find that loophole and bust it through for our brothers and sisters. What we found is that in the ordinance, if we went and put in a name change, there's an ordinance that says, well, say picket speech, because we're working to change the part to picket speech, the King Lincoln part to picket speech. There's a street name that is in northern Newport News called Pinky Street. And that something that simple is going to stop us from changing that name, because in the ordinance it says that it can't sound similar to picket or sound similar to the name you're trying to change it. So what we did is put in 2 applications, one to change that name and then also change this name. We're going through their process and we have a strong group of people that are going to show up at city council to advocate for it.
Pinkett Beach.
Yes. So why not change it?
So you're going to name it Pinkett or Pinky Beach?
Pickens.
Pinkett.
After Pinkett. William Moore Pickens.
You're going to name Pinkett?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
She
gets
that.
Now I'm just saying because Miss Pinkett, I met the daughter.
Yes.
So I wrote a paper on her.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Miss Horn. She married a Horn. I think it was named Horn. No. Her cousin was a Horn. She married a Gillis.
Okay.
16th, almost 6th Street.
Yeah.
She had a big house right there. I would go visit her. But she was Mr. Pinkett's daughter. Very fair woman. She was the first
black.
She came
when we did the pier.
She's been dead a while now. I'm not sure.
We did that pier about 5 years ago.
I think she does.
Well, maybe it was a granddaughter, because it was a real
fair-skinned
lady.
It may have been a
grand.
She was very fair with white hair.
Oh, no.
And they had this big picture window in her house on 6th Street.
Oh, wow.
And she stood there one day, and she was talking about her father. And she said that she was the first female in the band at Huntington.
Oh.
And she remember when Huntington was a Dunbar.
Really?
Where it started out at.
Really?
We had a nice conversation.
I didn't know Huntington started off at Dunbar.
Sure did.
Dunbar.
Really?
Back in the... Mm-hmm.
And then it moved to...
What was the next one moved to? I know it left Dunbar, but somewhere, then it moved down here.
Yeah, okay.
What year did you graduate?
62.
62.
Mm-hmm.
And you went
same.
To...
Same year.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so y'all been friends.
No, we're foes.
Foes?
We've been friends a long time.
Beautiful,
long time.
Beautiful.
We think we're related.
Mm-hmm.
We think so.
Probably.
So, out of Surrey County.
We are.
We out of Surrey County.
Go ahead.
Who was the first principal of Huntington?
Wasn't Mr. Palmer?
As far as I knew, it was.
Mr.
Grandfather,
Palmer.
Somebody.
Is he still living?
No, he's been.
He fought for the teachers.
Chuck Allen was
he
a very, very close rights. Friend of his son.
Chuck Allen. Okay.
Now, Chuck Allen asked me for Miss Pinkett paper. I'm going to find and give you a copy of it.
Please.
Yeah.
I would appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because you know what? I thought she was so old, she didn't know nothing. So I wrote Gospel Spreading Church of God. I wrote it wrong.
Uh-huh.
I might have wrote it, transposed it, the words.
Uh-huh.
She read it. She said, now, when you get back home, change this name. I said, shoot. I think she's an old lady. She I came home and looked. I said, my God, she's right.
Oh, my goodness. She knew what she was talking about.
And she was saying, I said, I want to take your picture tomorrow. She said, I go to bed at 5. I said, I'll be here at 4. Put your lipstick on.
I love
nice
it.
Nice house
it.
On 6th Street.
Yes.
High ceilings with the nice chandeliers.
Yes. Beautiful.
We had the best time.
So the house is not
there
yet? It's not there anymore.
That's Mitch's house.
Oh,
Yeah. It's misery. Two houses, mm-hmm. and then a house, mm-hmm. and an open field.
Yeah.
There's a big white house there with pretty flowers like these, like them orange ones. She had red like that.
Okay, I remember. Okay, because they said that his house Mims back Street, out M-E-L-M-S. There was close to the water.
Mims.
Wow.
And there used to be a pier right there.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. She said her father would fish out there.
Oh, my God.
Her
goodness.
Father was a tailor. T-A-Y-L-O-R.
T-A-I-L-O-R. Oh, so that's not like Mama Pat, because Mama Pat is T-A-Y-L-O-R.
It's the same thing, but the eyes are white. My name Taylor.
Oh, really?
T-A-Y-L-O-R. But he was a clothes tailor. T-A-I-L-O-R. They make clothes.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference in it.
Okay.
A tailor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's why I said T-A-I-L. No, T-A-I-L-R. He was a tailor. Like a seamstress.
Okay, yeah. Like Mr.
Hale. Yeah. Like Mr. Hale. So,
cool.
I'm going to go down there with Miss Pinkett, and we have nice conversations. I have to go early.
Yeah.
But she went to bed at 5.
Yeah. So, do you think
But she was good friends of Bobby Scott's father.
Oh.
They came to her wedding. Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, she's telling
so
me all that
many,
stuff.
Like, stories here, and so much rich history. Like, do you think us bringing awareness to what's happening with our environment here will get more eyes, and maybe the government will be more inclined to do things?
It might. You never know. That like, coal dust thing is so long. It's like it's a. I don't know. You just hear it.
Yeah.
You don't say. But I do think. When new people come down here, whoever it is, it may be some changes, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah. Well, so Adrian said that the city looked at a study in 2011. It's like a mesh curtain where it will hold the big particles away from us.
Where's the mesh curtain?
A wind fence.
Where's the mesh curtain?
We don't have one.
Oh, they but have one.
They did a study in 2000.
They looked at it.
Yeah, they thought about it.
So all we have is sprinkler. Sometimes you can see the water sprinkling over there. Some days you can't because you know how the sun is setting.
But we were coming across the bridge one day. You remember when that big storm came in? We were coming across the bridge, and it was a big cloud of just black dust that was coming over our community. I'm like, what in the world? We have to bring attention to it.
That was the time when that fire was going on, coming out of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
No. She said a big storm was headed.
Was it last week when mm-hmm. that big storm came?
When the big storm came. Yeah. And the wind. Okay. And all that.
It was just a big black cloud. So I'm like, we have to do something. I think with something like the mesh curtain or the wind curtain, wind fence.
What is this coal dust being used for now? For who?
Some
rich people? Who heating my coal?
It gets exported to Korea and Europe.
Because they got a cold field on 39th Street as well. You seen that one? You don't see that
one?
Oh,
Kinder Morgan?
Down 39th Street, straight down Pembroke. It's a cold field down there.
Another coal terminal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one is the Kinder Morgan one.
I don't know who on I know about this one, but the one on 39th. You haven't seen that one?
No.
Straight down Pembroke Avenue.
So what is it on the train?
No, it's like that. Wow. Stacks of coal, pyramids of coal.
It's just a different owner.
So it's wrapped all around us.
Yeah. But it's not, as like I said, some days I come out here, it's just black. If it rains, it's really black. You know, because it
runs down.
Yeah. And I get my...
I know on the outside of my house, like, it
my
always
neighbor
is black.
Just rushed his house down the other day. Oh. I said, man, you got...
That's a whole different shade.
I kept looking, I said, wait a minute. I saw him power washing it.
Uh-huh.
Then I came back, and I saw his railings. I thought it was gray.
I said,
Howard. He said, look, Miss Millie. I said, Howard, I thought your porch was gray.
Wow.
Look at that house. New house.
It sure was. That's still the young man. His mom left him the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that porch was black.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
I just knew it had to be gray.
Part of what I'm doing today is trying to also get some photos of, like, places where the coal dust is. Do you have anywhere? I mean, I know that you take really good care of your home. It's your porch is,
no,
like,
just came out this morning.
Wiped everything down.
I can tell. It's so beautiful.
Yeah,
and clean.
I came out this morning, wiped the porch down. I cleaned up the stuff. Those are, because I washed these. And, like old folks do back in the day.
Okay.
Put the plastic on.
That's all right.
That's a good idea.
I'm trying to keep a plan.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Yeah.
I had on my couch too. And I wiped these down. So, okay. Mm-hmm. I wiped my little thing here. I had to wipe her down. And this down. And this Pearl. The Pearl died to give me that.
Oh, she did.
So I wiped all this stuff down this
morning. Miss Pearl?
I had a friend named Pearl who died in November.
Oh.
And they wanted to know what I wanted. And I wanted that shoe in her yard.
Oh,
so I put those flowers in. I always loved that shoe in her yard.
It's beautiful.
So when she died, I said, I want
it's
that.
It's neat. Yeah, it's
I want that shoe. So I put those pink. They were really pink till the coal dust got in them. See the color? They were pink.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that. They're kind of like dull pink.
And this frog, she used another shade, but I cleaned her up. I cleaned him up. I guess they boy and girl. I don't know. I made them a couple.
Whatever you wanted.
I made them a couple.
A frog and a snail.
And I cleaned them up this morning. Yeah. But when it rains and it comes in the air, it's black and dusty, and my daughter caught being white, her cars get real black.
Oh,
my car's black, so she can't even see if her car gets black. But I don't know what we could do about this coal dust. We've been complaining. But I don't know what we could do.
As long as they use coals, you may not have to. You're not going to ever get away with it.
Mm-mm.
It's like a big thing that sits there, and it's a hazard. So you have to find a way to work it around it to reduce
And it brings a lot of money. I believe you said it brings in how much of the United States coal? Or?
Oh, like 25% between this one and the one in Norfolk. Like these two, the Kinder Morgan and Dominion, and then the one in Lambert's Point. It's like 25-30%
of it. Something about Lambert's Point. Lambert's Point. We went to the meeting, the air meeting. They was talking about Lambert's Point. I didn't know what Lambert's Point even was.
Oh,
I haven't heard of Lambert's Point.
Me either.
I said, y'all got coal too?
Yes, we have. They have the same problem. It's not as bad as here.
Mm. Not as bad as here?
Yeah, it's not.
Wow.
It's still bad.
Wow. Is it as big as ours?
It's different.
Okay.
Because what happens here is the coal gets stored. These big piles that just sit and like slowly move, but they're storing
it. So this coal is being moved to foreign countries?
Mm-hmm. It's for foreign export. And Lambert's, so this is CSS. Lambert's Point, they have Norfolk Southern.
Well, who imports this coal?
Who imports it? Korea, some European countries.
But it comes
and
from
China.
Like West Virginia.
Who brings it to
right?
here?
It comes from West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia.
It's actually, you know the name Huntington?
Yeah, we do.
That
Huntington,
guy,
West Virginia.
He's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Collis Potter Huntington.
Oh, that's our school name for him.
Yeah, he built the railroad.
Huntington. That's our school named after him.
Yes.
So he built the railroad?
1869, I think it said.
Yes.
So he built the railroad from West Virginia to
Huntington, West Virginia.
And then it moved all the black folks down here by the coal.
Yeah, he was a billionaire.
They knew what he was doing.
And his family is still extremely wealthy.
Yeah, off the backs of us.
I think
they used a lot of, it was post-emancipation, but it was after Virginia started what they call the black codes that were like criminalizing blackness in the state. And so they had a lot of new prisoners who they sort of rounded up, and then the state was in a lot of debt because of the Civil War, and so they were like, oh man, we gotta do something. Let's build a railroad that will drag a bunch of coal out so we can make this money back. Who can build it?
Wow.
And Huntington was right there because he had just built the first transcontinental railroad with three others. They borrowed a lot of money from the federal government to do that, and they never paid it back.
What?
He spent all that money in Congress lobbying to try to make it so that he never had to pay it back, and he never did. And so the state was like, here's a bunch of free labor of all these incarcerated African American men that they used to build the railroad through the mountains of West Virginia.
Do you have, like, is there a way, you know how, like, Professor Finn, he does his lecture on 21st century segregation, like, is there a lecture that we can have like that can go to our churches and educate people? I think when people hear stuff like that, like, that will motivate people to get engaged and really start speaking out about what's happening.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It is.
Like, because we make it visual. If you make it visual, just like the documentary that we had, we make it visual and take it to the churches, we can start building momentum. at least make it safe for my great grandchildren.
Make it aware of what's going on and why.
Yeah.
If these kids will listen, you know, and not hear it.
But I think they will. Yeah.
Do you know the legend of John Henry? Do you remember that story? Did you ever hear that song?
Railroad.
Yeah. He raced the steam engine.
Yeah.
Okay. He was one of the people who worked on that railroad.
He's real.
He's a real person.
John Henry.
I read a book.
Wow.
I read a book about it.
John Henry.
Yeah, real person.
Carlos P. Huntington. Thumb down.
Yeah, seriously. Two thumbs down.
But we still want the school. Yeah. We want the school where it needs to be.
Because I know they say, same way with Ferguson and Orchid, all them related, right?
Tell me more.
Orchid and Ferguson, are they all related? And all the money?
I'm not familiar with those names. That's what I heard.
They were all related. Ferguson
and
Orchid.
I haven't heard. I don't know who Orchid is.
At Orchid Avenue, whoever it is, the last name, will be related. So
I know Ferguson has a lot of money because there's a lot of Fergusons at Hilton.
But when we was trying to name the school, the streets black, the man said, we don't want to name them black. We don't know what they done in their history. What have they done illegal?
We are riding on Jefferson. He was the slave owner. Talk about oppression. Like, really? We riding on somebody.
You don't want to name a black name because you don't know their history? You don't know what they've done? You don't know what Ferguson done or Chestnut?
Even like blatantly, we know what Jefferson did. He was the biggest slave owner. But we gotta be re-traumatized by riding up and down the street and say his name.
And you can't put Jesse Reddy's name on 16th Street or down 6th Street.
So we had
constantly holding you back.
It always is.
Always a need to hold you back. And make you discouraged and not want to do. And it's sad. Really sad. It's sad for our young children come behind us.
But that's why I keep asking, like, where is the bridge? Where is the bridge between your generation and mine, and who do I need to go to say, hey, this is what we're going to do to save our community?
Well, I think you talking to Adrian about coming to different churches and programs and saying about what's happening down here, why it's happening down here.
You know, get momentum going again.
We didn't know that. I sure didn't know that. Okay. About Carlos P. Huntington and get this railroad and put this coal dust down here. But I do know the girl said 1860 something. They put her down here. That's and I said, so you move all, then you put black folks down here by? That was a plan. Mm-hmm. But now you want the water back.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your next plan? You want this water.
To increase our taxes and move people out of the community.
You don't want the water. But you don't want the coal, but you want the water. You can't have both ways now.
That's right.
Carlos had a stepson by the name of Archer Huntington. And he wasn't really interested in, what do you call it? In industry and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So he devoted his life to education. He was the first to establish a Hispanic society in New York.
Mm.
And he was a proficient reader of Arabic also, too.
Archer Huntington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was white, though?
Yeah, he was white.
What made him start a Hispanic society?
Wow. He went up, he established the first Hispanic society.
Maybe he got fell in love with a Spanish woman.
That could be true.
Is it because
in New York, too?
Put a lot of money into making Hampton University and Tuskegee Institute.
Oh, wow.
Oh, did Carlos Huntington?
It's complicated. Yeah. It's like
he did some good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I don't think makes what he did forgivable. I think still really messed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's all got a story to tell.
Entitled Managing White Supremacy.
Mm.
I think it was written by a professor at Wyman Murray. It may have been, but the book is Managing White Supremacy. And it's really interesting that even when they had Hampton University, they separated the races.
Mm.
You know, when they would have affairs and what have you down there, they separated the races.
Where are you from?
So that's a really
I'm from Nelson County, Virginia.
Nelson County?
Yes, ma'am.
Where?
It's near Charlottesville. It's rural.
Oh.
I went to William and Mary.
Okay.
Mm. Nelson County. Yeah.
Nelson County.
Yeah, it's near Buckingham.
Buckingham.
You've been Buckingham. He's a busy man.
He travels a lot.
That's what you're saying. Yeah.
He do a lot of reading.
Okay.
And he probably travel. He talks to a lot of people too.
Mm-hmm.
He got a wealth of knowledge in that thing.
Oh,
a wealth of knowledge. He still has it.
Yeah, so you gonna help us build this visual campaign?
I learned from him. Like I was trying to ask the people in the meetings, who's gonna live in these new apartments? He said they're bringing the same ones back. I said they couldn't afford to live in the circle. How can they afford to live in a brand new place?
And that's the people portion of the CNI grant where I was telling her the people portion, they were supposed to be getting financial literacy and budgeting skills and things like that. And because the organization that was there first, they didn't do that and they were removed, we're behind the ball because now we have a new organization that's coming in. They have to build those relationships, rebuild trust again, to be able to get people in these programs like the financial literacy to help them transform their lives and be able to afford them. So the good thing about the Choice Neighborhood Initiative is that the residents are supposed to have first choice back. But what we have found when moving residents back to the Lift and Rise is that that's not necessarily true.
Screen the people before you move them back in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They screen them, make sure that they're working.
What's the criteria?
Well, because they were relocated because of the project, it shouldn't be any barriers. Okay. But what I have seen is that they are looking at credit. They are looking at what have you done in the time that you left Ridley Circle. Are you working now? And what I can say, the residents that were left and came back, the ones that I've seen there, they're doing very well now. Yeah. I was just telling her it was a young lady that had came from... She was in Ridley Circle, one of the last ones to leave. She went to Hampton. She had really bad respiratory problems. She's doing great now, but she's moved back to the community. She works at Family Dollar, and she's living in Lift and Rise. I want to pay attention to her health to see, because she had to have, like, a heart stent and everything because her respiratory was bad. I don't know what it's about, but I want to, you know, just keep in touch to see how she's doing. But even her, she has a job now. She wasn't working at first. She has a better outlook on life. She's budgeting her money. Her children are grown, so she's readjusting to a new life. And being an empty
do they have
nester.
Children in Lift and Rise?
Yes, they do. They do.
I saw a couple of kids on the avenue the other day. I was wondering, were they living in there?
So those townhouses that are right on, I think it's 27th Street, is four townhouses that's in the back. They're really nice. They're actually three-story townhouses.
Okay.
Yeah, and the family, one of the families that came back there, she has a car now. Like, she has a job. Things are better. So I really believe, like, in this project, the ones that are determined to come back, because even with them coming back, they said, girl, I had to call my case manager four or five times. I had to stay on them. We still have those issues, but because we have made them feel like they are a part of a group that is supporting them and that, you know, we got your back, then they're more willing to make the phone calls that they need and handle their business.
I know a couple people said they had to reapply twice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of them said, I'm not paying an application fee twice, but I'm going to have to reapply.
Now, even right now, we have a waiting list of over 400 people.
Are you serious?
It's only 89 apartments.
400 people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what I can say and I'm happy about is that all it's 38 apartments for Ridley residents. All 38 apartments are taken up with Ridley residents. So they are coming back. They're working. They want to do better. The ones that haven't came back, I've spoken to some people, and they're like, well, I'm holding off for the houses. And I really want to... So, Dale Ivy Avenue is going to be 28 houses, single-family houses.
Well, let me ask you this question. The new house right down here by this big tree.
I heard that thing was selling for $320,000.
Right. And the next block, they got two, three more new houses.
Mm-hmm.
They keep having open house.
Mm-hmm.
Who are building these houses?
Not us.
I don't know. I don't know where they
people coming
from.
Some of those guys.
Oh, man. That house is huge.
The block from the 37th Street in the 1100 lot is already built, already sold. It sold for $367,000. I say, ain't no three houses.
It got to be a two-family house.
Worth $300,000.
There's a house that is on Chestnut, I believe, in the grid. I can't tell you what number street is across with $420,000.
On Chestnut Avenue?
You heard what I said.
Jeez.
So how can we afford this? Exactly.
Wow.
And then even while I'm riding some of the houses that's been sold and redone, I'm looking at them. They have keypads and stuff. And I'm like, these are investors and they're using these houses for like Airbnbs and stuff. Yeah. And they're not saying anything. So they're people that's buying up our land and don't even live here. Yes.
Same with, I think, on Eastern Shores over here.
Pacific
in the
Shores,
back. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Buying those houses and they're renting them out.
Yeah.
I
mean, I said, who in the world gonna buy this
house
down here? It has several open houses.
Mm-hmm.
They send me a letter 2-3 times a month.
Try to take
they want this land, they don't want this house.
Mm-hmm.
They want this property.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what it is.
They probably got that one already.
This belongs to the Newport News.
Newport News,
I mean,
got that property?
This city land.
Didn't keep it.
Who?
He was the one that owned it.
It was owned by Mr. Pete Houses there.
Yeah, that was my landlord. I figured
it
was locked.
Landlord.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where's he at now?
I don't know, but call me on my job.
Oh.
Now, how do you know my name says to me, if you give me $100, I can put down some sidewalk, we didn't have any sidewalk, in front of your door and in front of my door. And I said, that's Newport News visit, not mine or yours.
Exactly.
I come home the next month, we got sidewalk. Over down to Zion Baptist. He knew it was coming.
And trying to get money out of
me.
You. No, he didn't.
You know who was
this? This is Mr. Tower Aluminum Siding Company.
Uh-huh.
Got my grandfather put this on the house. I don't know what he charged him.
Oh,
you
Lord.
Know who was responsible for that?
Hmm.
Bernard Robinson.
I don't know, but I know he tried to get $100 out of me.
Uh-huh.
I said, there's no way. That's Newport News to do, not me or you.
Exactly.
It was a mess. And then he had his two houses thrown apart. I had to go over to him, complain about it. He was so far back in taxes. Mm. I said, wait a minute. If that was me, I'd have been gone. No house.
Exactly.
$21,000 tax, back taxes.
Are you serious?
So I said, and house up for sale. Does that mean they're buying a house and the taxes? The girl said, they can do it two ways. And then they told me to leave him alone because he's white. Told my cousin, tell your cousin to leave Mr. Hawk alone because he's a white man and he got money. I said, I'm still complaining about it.
Are you serious?
She went to City Hall then.
Wow.
Oh. I stayed complaining about these houses.
Mm.
They tore one down and had one left and it smelled so bad.
Mm.
I went over again. They said, here come the lady by the stinking house. I mean, it was the guys going there and have and defecate.
And that's how they were treating
and
you.
And my house smells so bad from this house.
Mm.
Flies on my, I had to go buy the fly bottles.
My God.
Flies all over my porch, my room, my house
was stinking.
Because you take
care of your house.
I had to go over there several times, complain about Mr. Property. So finally I complained. They came here one day, Miss Sterling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
me.
Chief Drew.
Myers.
It was some police officer came with some more. I came downstairs, they came out like this, throwing up.
Oh, see?
Pauline Sterling.
Sterling, yep. She retired now.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that place was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, smell.
So that was after I moved out.
You had moved out.
Okay.
I think the Duck girl had moved in, Kelly Duck.
Oh, I didn't know they moved somebody else in there?
Kelly Duck lived on they remodeled the house. Look, they moved. Kelly Duck, they had two white couples in there. They were contractors. When they were there, they kept this area looking so nice and clean, kept the street clean.
Mm-hmm.
They moved away because they were contractors. So wherever they went for the new job, then Kelly Duck moved in there.
Mm-hmm.
They came in and did some work to it. Say the walls were so soft, you put your hands through it.
Mm-hmm.
Poor contractor. But I kept complaining that when after everybody moved out, they boarded the windows up. Look, I called them with the broom to who to call.
Yeah.
They boarded the windows up. Then they start going under the house to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start smelling this smell. I mean, my house was stinking.
So the people were going, the squatters were going under the house to get in.
The house. They had boarded the windows up, but they couldn't get in. And then I had on my porch the little Citronella candles.
Yes.
They disappeared one day. I said,
wow.
Oh, they need light over there.
Ugh.
Now let's get them bring my house down.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys use my Citronella candles for light. No telling what you might do in there.
Exactly.
So I kept complaining. I had pictures.
Yeah.
A bunch of pictures. Because I go with pictures. I don't just go with conversation.
Hey,
I got pictures.
That's right.
So they finally came. Well, now I got complaining about the grass being cut.
Nope.
Because once the houses came down, beautiful land.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I got, so I complained. So they started coming on their own every 2 weeks. So I said, who called you guys?
But that had, Miss Lou, that had to happen like within the last 5 or 6 years, like 10 years at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the problem. Like, with her even going over to City Hall and complain, and the type of response that they gave her, like, why do people want to go over there when they're being looked at like they don't know what they're talking about? Why do you have to have pictures and stuff to say what's actually happening?
I took them for my own benefit, because I'm talking, you don't see what I see. So I got pictures. This is what I got to live with, all this stuff I hear. So they finally, Pauline came. I don't know if the chief drew them or not, but it was so messed up and stinky. So the guy named David somebody came and tore the house down. After he tore the house down, it was beautiful, dressed like that. So, oh, that's so pretty. Next thing I know, we got grass
over there.
So now I got to come, because I'm always complaining about something. If I don't like it, I'm going to go, I pay taxes.
That's right.
So I'm going to
come. But see, everybody doesn't have that fight like this Billy has. So just imagine if you're not someone that is prepared to go over there and have that conversation.
Some people feel like they won't do nothing.
Excuse me, ladies.
You got to go?
I got to go.
Well, I'll see you later.
It's very nice meeting you. Thank you, Adrian.
Uganda.
All right. We've met before. Uganda, one of Pat's friends. I know, yeah. Pat talks about us sometimes. Yeah. Pat and I grew up together. All us old.
Oh, look, I got to get ready to go. This guy needs the air pump.
You too, drive safely. I got to go too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what I can do but the cold does. I wish there was something we could do. But I'm thinking that when the people move down here, the new people coming, they will band together and do a petition or something, but it won't take it away, because that's money making.
Well, we can definitely do things, take measures, or advocate for measures to make it a little bit healthier and safer for us.
But when they put this new thing on 16th Street, that's another hazard, health hazard.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what type of emissions that building's going
to
put
out. Because when I went to the meeting, I said, you got something on, you got coal dust. Shipyard dust. Let me get 16th Street dust. So why that thing down here?
I should have said this earlier, but the Sierra Club is sending a petition to the EPA about the coal dust from here and from Lambert's Point in Norfolk.
So how can we sign it?
Yeah, so they're doing testimonials, like audio and written and video testimonials.
Wow.
And so if you're okay with it, I can send some of what you talked about today, just like describing how that has affected you and, you know, problems that it's caused you.
Absolutely.
I'm sure some of these kids had asthma, they say, from over here.
Yeah.
We went to a meeting one day down in Gross. They were saying a lot of children in the group in Dickerson Court had health issues.
I remember they didn't know why. There used to be like an asthma clown. You remember the asthma clown when he would be in the parades and stuff and bring attention to it?
I probably do, but just because I lived away for a while.
Okay.
You know, I went away to work. Yeah. But I've been here. This has been our house all my life, but I lived in D.C. for 50 years. it kind of still do.
Look, everywhere.
Yeah, I hope y'all get somebody to help out.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're going to help out.
When we start doing this visual campaign, you're going to come in these churches with me.
Yeah, it's something. We need it. Because people are not aware. And some people feel like nothing's going to be done. It's been all these years. And a bunch of older people. It's like they fight. They lost their fight. Mm-hmm. Come back one day. We got to have some food so you can eat.
Oh, geez.
Some Chinese food, some fried rice or something.
Let me know when I can donate.
Will you be back in July?
I think I'll be back by the end of the month.
If I have a cookout, I want you to come have some fried rice and some whatever y'all will have.
I'm gonna make
it y'all September.
September.
Labor Day. I got too many kids coming in, and y'all juice don't come out. So I got a lot of little children in my family. Yeah. Hey, juice all over my porch.
Right.
I got my porch painted because my niece having a party here next Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So I got my porch painted and back and front.
This is beautiful. Always beautiful.
I'll try to make it nice. On this is my corner.
I know, that's right. We need more people to say.
You need a ride?
I'm good. Yeah. Thank you.
Do you be in the garden sometimes too?
What's that?
In the garden.
Oh, I haven't. I just,
I'm going to volunteer there soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend some time.
Every Saturday is farmer's market. Yeah. When do y'all have work days? Whenever. Cool. Yeah, I would love to come chip
in.
You
look mighty African today, girl. African princess.
Thank you. I'm trying to keep up with you.
Like a Wanda Strong.
I love you. Thank you so much, Miss Millie. You take care.
You too. Y'all want some water or something?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Thank you. Thank you so much for introducing us.
No doubt.
That was amazing.
I have to go ahead and head over to the basketball court.
Oh, right. Yep. It's that time.
Yeah.
I should probably be heading on to you. But
and blow up palm and needles.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. What's next? listen, I'm so glad we got to hang out today.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for just letting me vibe with you.
I really appreciate it.